The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells is considered to be a science fiction classic. It has been read by millions. In 1938, its reading on radio caused a nationwide panic, and it has spawned two blockbuster movies. Is an invasion from outer space a possibility? Did you know that the Bible actually predicts an invasion of this earth from beyond? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
It was the first time in radio history that millions of people heard a live broadcast of a disaster as it occurred. It was 1937, and the dirigible Hindenburg exploded as it docked in Lakehurst, New Jersey, after a transatlantic flight. At the time, the nation was still in the throes of the Great Depression. People were concerned about the rise of fascism in Italy and Germany. It was during this time of anxiety that one of the most bizarre incidents in broadcast history caused nationwide panic. On October 20th, 1938, a CBS radio program airing dance music was interrupted with an alarming story of an alien invasion of New Jersey. And these invaders weren't just from another country, but were strange creatures from Mars. At regular intervals, the music stopped as listeners were told of massive destruction and death being spread around the world by a powerful and unstoppable enemy. Of course, the truth was that Orson Welles was simply dramatizing H.G. Wells' science fiction novel, War of the Worlds. But many people had missed the announcement that this was a drama, and panic began to spread. Some began to leave their homes and head for what they thought would be safer places. Telephone lines were jammed. Hundreds of New Jersey National Guardsmen actually tried to report to duty. The governor of Pennsylvania offered to send troops. The panic eventually faded as people began to understand that the danger was nothing more than imagination run amok. The War of the Worlds was first published in 1898 and has undergone many editions. It was made into a movie in 1953 and again in 2005. It's a simple story. Strange, intelligent, and violent alien creatures invade Earth and try to erase all humankind. It's a reoccurring storyline in many science fiction movies, from the Cold War-inspired The Day the Earth Stood Still and Invasion of the Body Snatchers to the 1996 blockbuster Independence Day. An interesting theme of Wells' original War of the Worlds is that people turn to God in their time of crisis. Most science fiction takes a more humanistic approach, where crises force human beings to learn to work together for the benefit of all. Prejudice, avarice, and competition are replaced with a utopian vision of John Lennon's famous song Imagine, where all ideas are equal, everyone is enlightened by human goodness, and people no longer need God. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, an ancient text written by a person far removed from the technological age that created science fiction, contains predictions of a future invasion of Earth. John, a disciple of Jesus, describes how nations will unite together to try and repel the attackers, but the invading armies will descend from the sky to kill many and conquer the earth. John even tells us the name of the leader of this invading force, the Word of God. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, not as a baby in the manger, but as a conquering King of Kings. Now, this isn't bad news. In fact, it's the only good news for the future of mankind. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth to save us from ourselves. On today's Good News Radio, we're going to talk about the future reality of the War of the Worlds. So don't go away. We'll be back with today's guest right after this.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Is humanity facing a real war of the worlds? To discuss a biblical view of the future invasion from outer space, we're joined by pastor and author Melvin Rhodes. Melvin, thanks for joining us again on Good News Radio.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay, does the Bible predict an invasion of Earth from a non-human source?
Not in the science fiction storyline of aliens from another planet, but yes, it does predict a future invasion. Christians believe that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, came to this earth almost 2,000 years ago as a Savior sent from God. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus answers the question that was asked of him, what will be the sign of your coming, of your second coming? And in verses 29 and through 31, it says this. This is what he said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
So Jesus Christ is returning to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth.
Yes, that's a central message of the Bible, is the coming kingdom of God.
Now, one of the biblical names for the Messiah is the Prince of Peace. So Jesus coming isn't really an invasion, but really the return of humanity's Savior.
Yes, that's true. Jesus Christ is humanity's Savior, but you know, most of humanity doesn't necessarily want to be saved.
Why?
I think because people do not want to obey God. That's really what it comes down to. You know, when you think about it, you know, the world in which we live is the way that it is and has been for a long time. And, you know, most people want to do their own thing. They just don't want to obey God. And so they don't want God's authority upon this earth.
You know, it's interesting. If God is the creator of the earth, and humanity is his creation, but he has to come back and save us, what happened to us that he has to save us?
Well, the answer to that is also in Matthew chapter 24, because Jesus Christ says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Man would actually destroy himself. So, you know, when Christians talk about Christ returning, it's not the end of the world. Christ is returning to save the world from mankind, because man would destroy himself. Well, you know, Satan, the Bible shows us that Satan is really the god of this world, and we have really been captive to Satan. And when you look at the Bible, you can go right back to the very beginning. You see, God created the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, and almost immediately they rejected him and rejected his authority in their lives. And so it's been with the vast majority of people since then. The Bible describes Satan as the great deceiver who deceives the whole world in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And, you know, he's deceived people around the world in all kinds of different religions, but none of them are the true religion which was given by Jesus Christ.
So humanity, in a very real sense, has been kidnapped.
Yeah, that's true.
But, okay, did God somehow give up, or did Satan wrestle that power away from him? Because I know the Bible describes Satan as the god of this world. So how did he get this power? I mean, did he wrestle that away from God?
Well, Satan, before he became Satan, was an archangel. And, you know, he was seemingly loyal and faithful to God, but then suddenly he changed and led this rebellion against God. And, you know, Satan got in there right at the very beginning, as soon as God created Adam and Eve and tempted them away from God. And, you know, Satan does have the freedom to be able to do that. You know, what it comes down to is every single person has to make a decision as to whether to follow God or to follow Satan. And Satan has all kinds of different offers that he puts out there for people. People can actually follow Satan, but they think they're following Jesus Christ, but they're still following Satan because he's behind so many of this world's religions.
So humanity is actually going to resist Christ when he comes back?
Yes, yes. People turn against God when Jesus Christ returns.
Does the Bible tell us a little bit what that will be like?
It does. In the book of Revelation, we see that. If we can just turn there for a moment, in the book of Revelation, we see the return of Jesus Christ described. Also in the book of Zechariah. But let's have a look at Revelation chapter 19 at the moment. In verse 11, we see here Christ on a white horse coming. In verse 11, then I saw heaven opened. Behold, the white horse. He who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. There is this reference to war there. In Revelation chapter 17, we see in verse 14 that the beast will make war with the Lamb. So, people are going to turn against God, Jesus Christ.
So the science fiction theme of nations actually setting aside their differences in order to come together to repel the invaders from outer space is actually what's going to happen?
Yes, very similar in that respect, yeah.
But, of course, they're not going to be resisting invaders from another planet, but the Creator himself.
That's right, but they don't realize that it is the Creator, because people are deceived and a lot of people will think they're doing the right thing.
Now, you mentioned Zechariah. That's Zechariah 14, one of the minor prophets, of course, what we call the minor prophets, the very important prophecy or prophet. They're called the minor prophets because the books are short compared to the major prophets. But he has something to say about this invasion, too, when the Messiah comes.
Yes, Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet, like you said, and chapter 14 deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. It says in verse 3, the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. So the nations are going to resist Jesus Christ when he returns. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. We know this is still in the future because here it says the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. That hasn't happened yet. So this is still a future event. And when Christ returns, we're going to have this these nations turned against him.
So the preterist concept that Christ has already somehow returned, just that Matthew 24 and Zechariah 14 would disprove that right there.
Yeah.
Okay, he has an army with him. Who is this army? Do we know from the Bible?
He's going to have angels with him when he returns, and the people of God that have been called, the elect, are going to join him as well at that time when he returns.
So these saints then are resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. So that's when the resurrection takes place, at his return, and then they come with him to actually fight against humanity.
Yes.
Why will much of the human race resist the second coming of the Savior of mankind? And just as importantly, how can you not be one of those resisting him? We'll be back right after this.
Today's headlines are filled with bad news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and government scandals. Almost 2,000 years ago, a prophet came bringing a vital message for this world. That prophet was Jesus Christ, and his message was the gospel of the kingdom of God. What was the kingdom of which he spoke, and does it have anything to do with the problems that threaten you and me today? In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. It is more relevant to you than you might think. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found,
answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
The Gospel of the Kingdom is a very important booklet. Now, it's less than 40 pages. It's easy to read, easy to understand. It will take you through the Bible and show you what Jesus and his apostles taught about the kingdom of God and how you can enter into that kingdom. I urge you to order your free copy by calling toll-free 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Melvin, why does the Bible predict that so many people are going to actually resist the return of Jesus Christ when he comes back as Savior of humanity?
I think there's a number of reasons for that. I mean, one is the fact that people simply do not want to change, and they won't accept the authority of Jesus Christ, even when he speaks to them personally and tells them what they need to do. People don't want to obey the laws of God. But I think primarily it's because people have been deceived by false religion. Satan is described in Revelation 12, verse 9, as the great deceiver who has deceived the whole world. And, you know, the vast majority of people are in religions that simply do not understand God's truth. And even some that call themselves Christians, when Christ returns, they will think he's the Antichrist. They won't think he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Creator.
So, I mean, you actually think that many Christians or some Christians will not recognize Jesus Christ when he comes?
I would say that most Christians will not recognize Jesus Christ when he comes. Most Christians are not familiar with what the Bible says about his return, and I think a lot of people will misunderstand.
We were talking about this resistance to Jesus' second coming. What will he do to stop this resistance?
Well, there's an interesting passage in Zechariah chapter 14, which deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 16, "It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." The Feast of Tabernacles is a biblically commanded feast. And here is a description of it after Christ returns. "It shall be that whoever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain." Then it says, "If the family of Egypt will not come up," and it's interesting Egypt's mentioned here because, you know, Egypt was right next to Israel, and Egypt had a pagan religion, and Egypt today still is not a Christian nation. "If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So nations will be forced to obey God's laws.
What a fascinating concept. I mean, Jesus Christ is returning to do away with freedom of religion.
Well, yes, in a sense that's true, because Jesus Christ will impose the true religion upon people, because the world is a mess because of false religion. False religion has to come to an end in order for the world to be the paradise, the utopia, the millennial rule, which is described in the scriptures when Jesus Christ returns.
Now, after Jesus Christ subdues the nations that come together and try to repel him, I suppose seeing him as some kind of an invasion from outer space. After he does that, what does he now begin to do? What does the Bible tell us he's going to begin to do?
Well, if you look in the book of Isaiah, you see prophecies regarding Christ's rule. And, you know, it's going to be a perfect world. That is what is described here in the book of Isaiah. If you turn to chapter 2, for example, it says in verse 2, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.' Then it says, he shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know, those words are right there at the United Nations building in New York. And the United Nations has singularly failed to bring the peace to the world that it was supposed to bring 60 years ago when it was founded. Jesus Christ is going to bring that peace to the world, but he's going to have to use some force in order to stop the nations from the never-ending cycle of violence and conflict which they're engaged in.
You know, it's one of the great ironies, and we've mentioned this before, it's one of the great ironies of the Prince of Peace, in order to bring peace, actually has to fight a war.
That's true. It has to be done initially in order to stop people from fighting.
What else does the Bible say about what it will be like? What it will be like on the earth when Jesus actually begins to set up his kingdom and human beings actually begin to learn the way that God intended for human beings to live?
Well, it's going to be a very, very different world. You can see that again also in the book of Isaiah with a number of scriptures. There's one we can look at initially, which many people who are listening will be familiar with, in chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse 6. This is a dual prophecy. It talks about the first coming of Christ as well as the second. But it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. But now the rest is fulfilled when Christ returns. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this is a description of the kind of leader that he's going to be, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And then if you look at chapter 11 as well, it says regarding this time, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." There's even a description of how even animal life will change. The wolf, it says, also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. In verse 9, it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." It's a paradise, a utopia that is described here.
And this is the time that all Christians should be looking forward to, when Jesus Christ returns. Now, it's called the millennium. Just quickly, why is it called the millennium?
Because it lasts 1,000 years. In Revelation chapter 20, we see that when Christ returns, he establishes kingdom for 1,000 years. During that time, Satan is banished. At the end of the 1,000 years, then Satan is released for a short season. So that 1,000 years is specifically the period referred to as the millennium.
Okay, that's why where we get the word millennium, which means 1,000.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you being here today with us and discussing this important topic.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Once again, I want to stress how important the information is in the booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom. To receive eternal salvation, you must enter into the kingdom of God. Entering the kingdom of God is more than just accepting Jesus as your Savior. You must accept God as the sovereign King of your life. Jesus said that we must make God's kingdom the number one priority of life. He said we must seek it. God is offering you his kingdom. Are you willing to answer the call? You can continue in your daily grind and keep trying to apply the same old solutions to the same old problems, or you can find kingdom solutions that lead to a life filled with purpose and a glorious future that we've been talking about on today's program. Order your free copy of The Gospel of the Kingdom by calling this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we like to get your email, sometimes we even read it on the air, sometimes we answer emails when we can, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. If you would like to hear Good News Radio programs online, just type ucg.org in the search box and click on the Good News Radio icon when the page comes up. All of the programs are archived and available for you to listen to anytime online. Why were you born? Well, there's a big difference between grasping your future the future we've been talking about here, the kingdom of God, established by Jesus Christ when he returns, or simply going on the way you have been, and maybe resisting Jesus Christ when he comes. The choice is up to you. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.